Father, we just come to you with thanksgiving again. Thank you that you reached us, Lord. Thank you that you sent people to me and to each one here. Somehow, some way, somebody was obedient. And we want to be like that too, Lord. God, I just ask for your help here today. Share your word. Touch our hearts. We want to be changed, Lord. I just confess to you and to everybody here that I need you. And I believe that you are a God that answers prayer, that you want to bless and meet every need here. So I pray for that in Jesus' name. Amen. Good afternoon. Would somebody get me a drink of water? I'm nervous again. Today's been kind of a different day for me. I've just been very emotional. Felt like crying most of the day. I'm not usually that way. Kind of feels good. I'm not sure what's going to happen. Heard someone say one time, I don't care how much you know. I want to know how much you care. Before I care how much you know, I want to know how much you care. I believe that's true. And one of my prayers has been, Lord, fill my heart with your love for each of these youth. And may they see in me somebody that cares. May they know I care. It's a little bit dangerous to preach about humility for all week, because you never know what the Lord might tell you to do. You have to be the message, not just say the message. So I just felt the Lord speaking to me. I guess it was last night, to humble myself. And I thought I'd probably do that on Thursday because it sort of fit with the message then. But this morning I just felt like the Lord said, no, you should do that today. So I'd like to do that. You know, as I said, the key to relationships that we're looking at this week is humility, as I understand God's Word. One of the big keys, let's put it that way. And I've learned that in my life, my marriage, my children. It's not hard to love a humble person, even if they mess up. But someone that's proud, it's harder. Right? It's just some resistance that something holds back. And so I just wanted to confess that I think sort of from my generation, if I can do that, as a representative, that I know a lot of you over the last years have felt maybe blamed, picked on. You're the problem. Anybody felt that way? You don't have to raise your hand. But I mean, I've heard it said, prayer meetings and things, something wrong with the youth. You know, we got to pray for the youth. They're getting worldly. They're going the wrong way. And I would just like to say that I feel like we have been proud. Instead of facing ourselves, facing the fact that we have a need, that we're not as spiritual as we think we are, we've laid stuff on you.
I know it's made a lot of you struggle. It's pride. I'm sorry. I feel like there's been a barrier. When we say, let's seek God, I just pray that that barrier can come down. We can seek the Lord together this week. In truth, in reality. Pray that God can heal those wounds. You know, that's a lot of the heart of this school. What Brother Rick shared. Why, maybe it's a little different. We want you to know that we love you. I'm sorry. I pray that if anybody's had a hindrance in their heart because of that, that you could open your heart up. Because we all need the Lord. We're all in the same place. We all need God. I wanted to share that with you today because I felt the strain in the relationship. Not just here, not just with any particular one of you, but you know, it's been there for a while. And God wants us to go on seeking Him without that hindrance and baggage. Maybe I'll just pray now. Lord, we do confess our great need of You. I confess pride, Lord, for myself, for my generation. Confess that it's hurt our youth, turned them off some, made them struggle. Lord, I pray that You would overcome those things. Pray that You would bring healing. Pray that You would break through in the spiritual realm with blessing, showers of blessing, in Jesus' name. Amen. All right, well, did anybody guess who the hardest person in the world is to get along with yesterday? You're like me. Sometimes it's yourself, right? Roman drew that picture up there. You can still see the little shadows of it. And we have the verse here on this paper that talks about it. 1 Thessalonians 5:23. And the very God of peace sanctify you wholly. And I pray, God, your whole spirit, soul, and body be preserved blameless unto the coming of our Lord Jesus Christ. Who am I? What am I? How do I understand me? I heard people say that I'm like Roman. I don't know how to just put it all in exact orders and what part is spirit and body and soul. I've heard someone say that you are a spirit, you have a soul, and you live in a body, which I kind of like that one, except this verse sort of throws a kink in that. Because it says, I pray your whole spirit and soul and body. So you is something else or something. You can't easily describe all that stuff. In Romans 7 there, the next verse, Paul said, if then I do that which I would not, I consent unto the law that it is good. Now then it's no more I that do it, but sin that dwelleth in me. For I know that in me, that is, in my flesh, dwelleth no good thing. For to will is present with me, but how to perform that which is good I find not. You know, Paul had a little struggle too. He was like, one minute he said, in me, oh, that is in my flesh. How do I perform what is good? I don't know how to do it. Proverbs 4, keep thy heart with all diligence, for out of it are the issues of life. We talked about that yesterday. Keep your heart, you. You, keep your heart. There's something in you called a heart, or there's something about you called a heart. Keep it. And it says, ponder the path of your feet and let all your ways be established. We talked yesterday about the title, The Pathway to Blessing. It's a way. If you want to get somewhere, you've got to take the path to get there. you want to have great relationships in your life, you got to get on that path. If you want to go to Leola, you got to take the road. Anything in life, anything, there's a pathway to get there. And if you take that path, you'll get there. And if you don't take that path, you're not going to get there. It's so simple that we don't even think it matters, but actually it's very profound, isn't it? You got to take the path. And if you do take the path, you'll get there. If you don't take it, you won't get there. Jesus said, I am the path. I am the way. I'm the path. The way I live, the things I did, that's the way. That's the way. And so in relationships, the way, the path, is the way of Christ, which is humility. That's why we're focusing on that. That's the one thing Jesus said about Himself when He described Himself. I'm meek and lowly. And you're going to find rest for your soul if you come to Me. I'll take it. I'll take your burden. Now, I wrote this little quote here. Anybody ever hear that quote? This next quote? The guy wasn't a Christian. In fact, this guy was a Chinese general. Somehow I came across this and it just struck me. I don't usually read things from Chinese generals from 500 BC. But something just hit me. And this particular guy, they actually study his material. He wrote a book called The Art of War. They study his material today in the United States military because he had profound insight into warfare, which we're not into warfare, right? Well, we are though, aren't we? We're in a war. And guess what? Relationships is where a lot of the battlefront comes, isn't it? This guy, his name was Sun Tzu. I like those Chinese names. Sun Tzu. He said, it is said that if you know your enemies and know yourself, you will not be imperiled in 100 battles. If you do not know your enemies but know yourself, you will win one and lose one. If you do not know your enemies nor yourself, you will be imperiled in every battle. And he may have been a heathen Chinese general from ancient times, but you know, there's some things we need to learn from that for our life as Christians. We need to understand ourselves if we're going to win the battle. A lot of people lose out because they don't understand themselves and how to relate to themselves properly. So point number one there, if we don't know how to relate to ourselves, we're not going to be able to have blessed relationships. Because there's this hindrance called self. In order to properly understand and relate to ourselves, we need to know two key things. What do we need to accept about ourselves? And what do we need to reject about ourselves? I'm going to ask you a question. Can you be anything you want to be? Yes? Anything? True? I wanted to be an Olympic swimmer when I was in high school. Really bad. So bad I hurt myself. I still got knees that pain me. If it was how bad you wanted to be an Olympic swimmer, I probably would have been one. But guess what? I couldn't be that because that's not what I was given. Our culture says you can be anything you want to be. Just believe. If you can believe it and conceive it, you know, you will receive it. I don't think that nature bears that out. There's a lot of things I can't be. In fact, I've learned that the only thing I really can be good at is what God gave me to be. It's a beautiful resting place there. And one of the great hindrances that I found as growing up and becoming a Christian then at 23 was I always wanted to be something I wasn't. Some of you maybe never felt that way, but I know a lot of you probably did. I always wanted to be something different than I was. I didn't like being 5'8". I wanted to be 6 foot something. What were some of the other things? I liked these people that were really outgoing, gregarious types, you know. I always admired them and just wanted to be like that. But I couldn't do it, you know. It wasn't in me. I love watching Brother Mel greet the youth. Praise the Lord, brother! You know, I just like to sit there and watch him. It just blesses me so much, you know. I love that, Mel. I'm not quite that way. I don't want to fake it. I don't want to try to be a Mel. But I do want to bless the youth. But I got to be me, right? I don't want to be a fake somebody. No, I always wanted to be somebody different. And I really struggled with who I was. Didn't really accept it. Didn't feel good about it. And so I want to talk about self-acceptance. You know, there's some things that we need to accept about ourselves. And I'm talking about the stuff that we can't change. What are some things that you've been given that you had no say in the matter, but that's what you've got? What are some areas where that's true? And it's true for all human beings. Try to name some areas here. Your parents. Okay, how many of you went somewhere and picked out your parents? Anybody? You didn't have a say in the matter. You got what you got. All right, what else? Personality. Brothers and sisters, I heard over there. Okay, what else?
Nationality.
Okay?
Appearance.
How many of you decided you were going to be beautiful? Anybody? You really struggled in the womb. No, somebody just... God made people look the way they look. Right? And I believe God made everybody beautiful, if we can see through His eyes. There are people that we call more beautiful than others on this earth. Okay, what else?
Your name.
Name? Okay. Good. What else? You didn't pick it, but you got it.
Stature.
Your time.
Time? What age or whatever?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
What era you were born into?
Era, we'll say. Era?
Color of your hair.
How about how much hair you have? Nobody consulted me on that one. Okay, anything else? There's a lot of things that we just didn't have a say in, right? And we've been given these things. And a lot of people aren't very happy about what they got. You know, I thought about this morning when we looked at being a grateful person. That was one of the times where I was just crying. You know, I just couldn't hold it back. I don't know. God was speaking to me. Yeah, be thankful for what you have. Be thankful. A lot of people look in the mirror and they say, if God is love and this is what God gave me, I'm not sure I can trust Him. It's a hindrance. And look at there, Genesis 3, 1 through 5. It says, "Now the serpent was more subtle than any beast of the field which the Lord God had made. He said to the woman, 'Yea, hath God said, you shall not eat of every tree of the garden?' And the woman said to the serpent, 'We may eat of the fruit of the trees of the garden, but of the fruit of the tree which is in the midst of the garden, God has said, you shall not eat of it, neither shall you touch it, lest you die.' And the serpent said to the woman, 'You shall not surely die, for God does know in the day you eat thereof, your eyes will be opened, and you shall be as gods, knowing good and evil.'" And below that I wrote, the essence of what the devil said was, God's provision for you is less than the best. He didn't give you the best, Eve. He withheld the best thing from you. Has Satan changed? He still says that to everybody. That's what we want to deal with in section one here of this message. Some of you may have noticed that my hair is thinning slightly. All right, I'm almost bald. There's still a few hairs there. You know, there was a time when that thing really bothered me. I can actually remember the place. When I was in high school, I told you I was a swimmer, right? We were having swimming practice, and this other guy, who I guess he meant well, I don't know. I think he was going bald too, but he felt bad about it. But he said to me, you've got a reseater. Well, I didn't know what in the world he was talking about. I never heard anything like that. A receding hairline. And it just like hit me like a ton of bricks. I mean, first I didn't know what he was talking about. It was kind of like, you know, what are you talking about, you know? Because back then I had a lot of hair. In fact, you'd be surprised if you saw pictures of me. I had this long hair, bushy. And I really liked my hair. Me and Absalom would have gotten along pretty well. I like to wet, you know, at the end of the year. No, really, I had long hair and I liked it a lot. And so when he told me that, I drove home from swimming practice. Do you think I was thinking about anything else except that? I mean, if a doctor had said, "Son, you got terminal cancer," I don't think it would have hit me any harder. Because it was like the end of my life. Going bald? That's it. It's over. Your life will never be the same. That's the way I felt, really. You know, and I got in front of the mirror, I looked. Come on, no, that's not true. I don't think that. He's wrong. And then held one in the back, you know. And I think maybe he's right. You know what? It looks a little bit thin there. I mean, it was a big deal. Any of you relate to this kind of thing? Any of you ever look in the mirror like that? And it's big. I thought my life was ruined. Really. What was wrong? Praise God. But I just want to use that as an illustration. You know, some of you have stuff in your life that the devil wants to tell you it's a really big deal that you don't have this or you don't look that way or you whatever it is, you fill in the blank. And Satan's a liar. Do you know I thank God I'm bald? I really do. And you may think that's hard to believe. I don't wish that you all get bald. But I actually thank God I'm bald. I've learned to do that. Because there's some good things that I've discovered about being bald. And I'm not meaning to be funny. Really. There's some benefits in my life. I was really, really proud. And being bald is kind of humbling. And I can actually thank God for that. That's one of the things I thank God for. I said, "Lord, thank you for letting me be bald." Just like I thank Him for letting me not be an Olympic swimmer. and this other thing I wanted to be, and this and that. I thank God He didn't let me be those things. Because of that, I felt needy. And I cried out to Jesus. I saw that I needed something more than I had. The people you need to pity the most today are the Justin Biebers. And I don't know who the other ones are, but the Miley Cyrus. Don't wish to be in their shoes. I pity them above all people. I feel so bad for them. Because the chance of them ever finding Jesus Christ is very, very slim. I've learned to thank God for being bald and for other things that I didn't like about myself. You know what? That's been a great blessing to me. I wouldn't change it if I could. Sometimes I'll joke with my children. You know, should I get a toupee? Nah, I couldn't do that. What about growing my hair real long on one side? Putting it over the top like this. Then it's kind of covered. Nah, that won't work either. What happens when it gets windy? I got it. I'll shave everything off completely bald. I'm going to take charge. Now, there's men that do that. They're going bald and say, that's it. I'm not going to let this thing be in control. I'm shaving it all off. I'm just going to have a shiny bald head. You know what? It's a lot more freeing to just be who I am. I don't have to worry about something coming loose, falling out. I was working one time with a guy that was a preacher, and he was bald, but he had a toupee. And we were painting up on the scaffold. You can probably guess what happened. He got some on his thing. And I didn't know what happened, but he took off running. And he went to deal with it. And he came back and had a hard hat on. You know, to me, that's not being free. God has freedom. That's a lot better than having to fake it, having to be something I'm not. And that's what Jesus was meaning, I think, in a big way when He said, come to Me, all you that labor and are heavy laden. Don't fake it anymore. Don't try to be looking good. You can get rid of all that baggage. You know, I brought this burden up here. A lot of times we carry around these burdens about who we are, and we feel we're not content with who we are. We don't want to be who we are. We're trying to be somebody different. It's a great weight on my life. Freedom is when we can just get rid of that thing. Come to Jesus and be known for who I am. That's real humility, is when you're willing to be known for who you really are. And I will say that is a key to your relationships the rest of your life. Being willing to be known for who you are. Because there's a lot of people, even people that are married, who are faking it. It doesn't work. You can't fake it. It just brings separation between people. You can't be close to someone who's faking it. You can be close to someone who's real. Remember our purpose. Who can say, what's our purpose? We talked about yesterday in life. Anybody? Glorify God and enjoy Him forever. Can being bald hinder that? No. My life purpose cannot be hindered by that. And your life purpose cannot be hindered by whatever your thing is. You know, God has made it that we're all these imperfect beings have certain stuff about us. You know, even the Miss Americas of the world, they've all got some things about them that they're embarrassed about, that they're ashamed of, that they try to cover and hide.
you know, and they get together and, oh, I'm not really that pretty. Oh, yes, you are. No, you're much prettier. You know, they all feel that insecurity too, you know, many of them. Because there are no perfect people. It's a lie of the devil. There's just you and me. Just regular people. So none of those things can hinder the real purpose that we're created for. The thing that can hinder it, though, is if we allow it to. Because you see, if we do not accept, and I wrote down here, maybe you didn't like this part. I think I wrote it here. Yeah. If we do not accept and embrace our unchangeables. Now, maybe accepting, that's one thing. Okay, I can accept it, but do I really have to embrace it? That is the place of abounding life and victory. When we embrace who God made me to be. Because, you see, if we're not embracing that, what we're saying is, God, I don't trust you and I don't believe you really love me. And I don't think you knew what's best. You didn't give me what I should have got. You think about that. We would never say that to God, would we? But when we allow ourselves to listen to Satan and not like the way we are and wish we were different, somebody else, we're really saying, it's like in Isaiah it said, shall the clay say to the potter, why have you made me thus? And so there's actually, it actually says, woe to him that striveth with his maker. So one of the great things that we have to do in this matter of understanding ourselves is to accept who God made me to be. And to choose where I can thank God for what he made me to be. You know, don't look at what you're not. Look at what you are. Thank God for everything you are. And thank God for some things you're not too. And if we can have that attitude, we'll be way down the road. I wrote there on the page, what is the greatest hindrance to accepting and embracing our unchangeable features? Anybody give me the answer? What's the greatest hindrance to accepting and embracing our unchangeable features?
Pride.
Pride. You got it. See, why did I want to be different? Why did I want to be tall? Why did I want to be hairy? Pride. The reason why we don't like the way we are is one thing. It's pride. We are not. We feel we deserve better. We want it better. The way to victory is humility. God, I thank you for just the way you made me. That I am okay. That you wanted one of me, too. Not just one of them. And so that's the first point here today. And I want one I'd like you to think about. And we did a little survey last night at my house. I think we have seven youth there and my family. I said, well, how many of you have never really struggled with the way you look, the things, the way you are, your personality, so forth, the things, the unchangeable things? And I think there was, I didn't count it exactly, but I'm going to say there might have been three people like that. How many of you have struggled? Well, there was probably six or seven like that. I think that's about normal or average. A lot of people struggle with that. And I've learned, you know, that God is good. He made me the way he made me for a reason. And I can feel okay about it. It's okay to be Brother Paul. I used to want to be like Brother Denny. You know what I mean? I love preachers that like Denny told me one time, that snort and spit. And yeah, I just love that. I love to see that, you know. Move around, get all animated.
That's not who I am. I'm just Brother Paul. And I'm learning that's all right. I don't want to be a second rate Brother Denny. You guys would be want to throw up, you know? Wouldn't you? You want to get out of here. Hey, this guy's a phony. No, you want something real. And I want something real when I see somebody preach. And I just challenge you in that. You know what? God did not make a mistake. He made you exactly the way He wanted you to be. And your great joy and blessing comes when you embrace that by faith and begin to thank God, be a grateful person, that He didn't make a mistake about you. And you will discover, as you go through life, all the reasons why He made you like He made you. Why He gave you the parents He gave you. Why He gave you the personality He gave you. You know, you may not understand that now. But the person of faith, you know, the man of faith, he says, God, I know You did it for a reason. And thanks God for it. Psalm 139, it really gets specific. It says, you know, when all my members were, when as yet there was none of them written, You knew all about it. And You fashioned me in my mother's womb. You told, you know, You had it in there what I was going to be. So I challenge you to embrace that. If you've been proud because you haven't embraced who God made you to be, praise the Lord for repentance. You know, that's a good thing to repent of. And there's freedom in that. And if you're one of those people that, maybe you're one of those that you always liked the way you were, well, there's other verses for you. There's one I really liked because I didn't like the way I was, but I was proud about the way I was too. Kind of gets all mixed in. And 1 Corinthians 4:7. I memorized that one. One of the first verses I memorized as a Christian because I recognized this awful pride in me. And it says, for who maketh thee to differ from another? Who made you different from everybody else? And what do you have that has not been given to you? Now, if it has been given to you, why do you glory as if it had not been given to you? Some of us have to humble ourselves that way. And say, God, I didn't make myself this way, this good thing about me, whatever it is. Again, humility. That's the way. That's the path. All right. I think this is one of those things that you could really go somewhere. Some of us could go somewhere and pray about. And I don't know that we're really going to do that right now. But I encourage you to do that. If the Lord's speaking to you that, hey, there's something I need to deal with, you know. I need to have a transaction with God. I need to get myself back surrendered to the Lord. You know, that's what that really is. It's surrender, absolute surrender. God, I'm Yours. I trust You. You did everything right, God. But I want to just do this part two here. And maybe you can talk about these things in your groups. I'm not sure how that'll go, but I want to talk about another thing. Now, we talked about accepting ourselves. Okay, but I want to point number two is reject self-rejection. Now, wait a minute, Brother Paul. You're getting us confused. Well, see, here's where I said understanding ourselves is a little tricky. Because, you know, there's these different parts about us. The body, soul, spirit. And the part that I was encouraging us to accept is the unchangeable parts of our being. Our body, our soul. But there's parts of us that need to change. And we actually need to reject. And if we don't do that, and let me just say this to go before I get into that. Can you see how this is going to hinder your relationships in life? If you do not truly
accept who you are. You're going to live a life that's frustrated. You're going to look to people and stuff and other things to fill up that void to make you feel good about yourself. And a lot of people do that, a lot of money spent, and it doesn't work. So that's why I felt like I had to share this in this message about relationships. This hinders so many people. Because they look at relationships as the means to fill the emptiness of my life. And that all that does is hurt people and have bad relationships. And now this point two of what we need to reject about ourselves. Likewise, if we don't do that, this is basically what Roman shared about this morning. I'm just kind of going over it again. It's the same message. If we don't embrace our identity of who we are in Christ, we're going to live after the flesh. And you know, everybody's looking for identity. Anybody here ever been to Longmont, Colorado? On Friday night? I went there one time years ago. Went witnessing. This is a very unique experience. In Longmont, Colorado back then, 20 years ago, on Friday night, it was cruising night. And we went up and down the sidewalk. The cars would go in a loop, you know, drive all the way down this side, then come back down that side, then go back down. It was cruising. I can never see a lot of in that, but as we went along witnessing, it was very interesting. We came across all these different groups. This was the cowboy group, and it was really laughable, but it was sad. But here's the cowboys. They all have their big, you know, the pointed boots and the big hats and the spit. You know, when you walk past them, you have to kind of like this because there's this brown spit all over the sidewalk. And then the girls that are with them, you know, with the cowgirl suits on and identity. It's all about identity. So you walk on a little bit further, and then you meet the sports group. The cheerleaders with their cheerleading outfits and the football stars. And there they are, huddled together in their clique, their safe group. Then there was the punkers, black, chains, nose rings and bones in the nose, you know, all kinds of weird stuff, hanging out together. And I forget, there were several others too. But, you know, it was just a fascinating thing, a demonstration of the human desire to have identity, to belong in a group. Well, you know what? We have got such a wonderful identity that far surpasses the cowboys. Amen. Hallelujah. It makes the cowboys look pretty bad, doesn't it? Amen. I'm in Christ. I am identified with Jesus Christ, the Lord of Lords. I am accepted in Him. I'm in His family. Do you need any more identity than that? Praise God, it doesn't get any better than that. That's where it's at. That's the highest identity that we could possibly have, is that I am in the Beloved. I am in the Lord. And you know, as we embrace that, it blesses our life. It blesses our relationships. It brings victory where there was defeat. And so I'm just going to share it again with you, even though Roman talked about it this morning, because it, you know what? I didn't get it the first time I heard it, or the second, or the third. I had to be told over and over and over and over and over again until finally it sunk in. And I'm still learning. I haven't arrived. Identity. Look at your verse there. Therefore, if any man be in Christ, he is a new creature. Old things are passed away. Behold, all things are become new.
the real you is a new creature. That's the real you. If you have given your heart to the Lord, the real you is a new creature. That's what God says. And I like how Roman brought it out. You know, it's very simple. It's not complicated. But let's take the word for what it says. All things have become new. Old things are passed away. The real you is a new creature. And God wants us to believe that. I've got other scriptures there for further study, if you want to look them up later. But here's the thing. Okay, Brother Paul, I heard what you said. The real me is a new creature. Why do I still struggle? Why can't I get victory? You know, what's going on? Why did I just think that thought? And the devil is right there whispering in your ear. If you were really a real you, you wouldn't have thought that. And so we have this battleground for our faith. Well, you know what? God didn't just do something about making us a new creature. He also did something about the old. And in some ways, I appreciate that even more. Maybe that's, I shouldn't say that. Because I don't like that old guy. That old man, the Bible calls him. He ruined my life for so many years. Ran the show. Told me what to do. Called the shots. But I found out that he's not... doesn't have to be in control anymore. Romans 6, right there, verses 3 through 6. Know you not that so many of us as were baptized into Jesus Christ were baptized into His death? Therefore we are buried with Him by baptism into death, that like as Christ was raised up from the dead by the glory of the Father, even so we also should walk in newness of life. For if we have been planted together in the likeness of His death, we shall be also in the likeness of His resurrection. Knowing this, do you know this? That our old man is crucified with Him, that the body of sin might be destroyed, that henceforth we should not serve sin. Did you ever wish that somehow all those unholy, selfish parts of you could just be done away with? It caused you so much trouble. Did you ever wish that? Guess what? God did it. Amen. He already did it. That the body of sin might be destroyed. I like to do word studies. This word here is a word. It doesn't mean to annihilate it. Like we think of destroy. When we think of destroy, we think something's just boom, annihilated. What it means is to render it inoperating. Inoperable, unemployed. It's a fascinating thing. The root word for this word is the same word used in the gospel where Jesus tells a story about the guys that went to work in the field for the man. He gave the first ones this much, and then he came and got some more, and he gave them that much. And then he said to them, the guys at the end, he said, "Are you yet unemployed? Yeah. Here, go to work." You see, God has done something in Christ to take care of that old wretched self. He has already done the work. Ours is to believe it. Ours is to receive it. It's a glory. Paul said, "God forbid that I should glory save in the cross of Christ, whereby the world is crucified unto me and I unto the world." He actually gloried in that. And we need to too. And so, you know, the picture that I get of the old self is, you know, it's like these temp services places where guys go, don't have a regular job, and they're waiting for somebody to put them to work. And so you go there at whatever, 7 o'clock, and you hope that somebody's going to come today and give you something to do, pay you. That is the picture of what God, where God wants your old man to be. He wants him to be sitting in this chair, waiting to do some work. If we could see in the spiritual realm all our old men, they should be sitting around saying, "Oh, I've got nothing to do again. Yeah, me neither. That guy, he never gives me work." That's what the picture is. Unemployed because Jesus is the one who's employed. Because we are walking in, you know, in the Spirit. And so we have to understand that, because otherwise we wrestle. We see these unholy thoughts and feelings and temptations that come on us, and we get knocked down by it. And we say, "Look, oh man, there it goes again. It seems like nothing changed. I'm still the same." Well, that's your flesh. That's your old self. I wrote a statement on here that there's a powerful statement. It says, "Those who choose to reckon or consider their old self as crucified with Christ and their new self to be alive with Christ will find it becoming increasingly true in their experience. Those who don't understand these truths or do not choose not to believe them and trust in them will find themselves living a frustrating Romans 7 type of life." God has a wonderful provision. The question is, will we believe Him? You know, it says in the Bible, God has given us all things that pertain unto life and godliness. How? What's the next part of that verse? He hath given us all things that pertain to life and to godliness. What? Through the knowledge of Jesus Christ. Through the relationship with Jesus Christ. Knowing. What God wants is when you face that awful thing, that temptation to lust, that temptation to anger, is that you get to know Jesus in that moment as you cry out to Him. Remember what I said yesterday? Until you know that life is war, you will not know what prayer is for. That's where the battleground comes. Satan doesn't want us to walk in that. He doesn't want us to believe these wonderful things. He wants to keep God's people down in the dirt, looking at ourselves, groveling in who our old man is, confessing it over and over again. I'm such a worm. I'm so pathetic. You know, I can't do anything. Well, that's right. That's your old man, but that's not who you are. You're something else now. Why let that guy, that unemployed worker, be your man? Send him back to the temp services. Romans 6:11. "Likewise, reckon you also yourselves to be dead indeed unto sin, but alive unto God through Jesus Christ our Lord." Right after I got saved, shortly thereafter, I went to this service station, went to go to the bathroom in there, and walked in. It was one of these dirty, you know, places where the mechanics went, and they had this big pile of magazines in there, and they weren't good ones. And you know, before I was a Christian, I would have looked at those things. So I went in there, closed the door, and here I am going to the bathroom, and these things are just right in front of me. And something, you know, amazing happened that I've never forgotten. This thought came to me: you don't have to do that anymore. You don't have to go there. You've tried that stuff. It's empty. There's nothing there for you. You know, it just hit me in a new way. And I realized, I actually, up to that point, I wasn't even sure whether I was saved or lost. Or half the time, I was so confused. But I realized, you know, something happened. I am different. I'm a new creature. Praise the Lord. Well, I'm not sure how to wrap things up here. I don't want to just keep going. Going. But to just say that if you want to have blessed relationships, you're going to have to learn how to deal with self. Self is the problem in relationships. And you know what? When two people understand that, you can really get blessed. Like my wife and me. Because we both understand. And we both, sometimes we have to talk about it. And we say, yeah, well, I did say that, and I know I shouldn't have, but this is what happened. I was feeling all this pressure, and I just blurted it out. And she said, yeah, you know, and I was working so hard here at home, and I had all these strains today, and I was feeling needy, you know. And, there's healing there. We understand each other. We know what we're made of. And we can be blessed. You know, we're not perfect. We have to, you know, get it, shut the door, and the way we do is we just shut the door and flop on the bed and just relate to each other. You know, just come close to each other, hold each other, and confess our sin. Pray to God. You know what? That's how to have a great marriage. It's not that you're going to be this wonderful person that never has a problem, never does anything wrong. But it's when you have two people that love God and understand themselves and who they are and who God and who Christ is and who are willing to be humble enough to admit it. I'll close with this verse, Philippians 2. Jesus said, I am the way. So here is the way. You want to have great relationships? Write this one down. Memorize this one. Let nothing be done through strife or vainglory, but in lowliness of mind let each esteem other better than themselves. Look not every man on his own things, but every man also on the things of others. Let this mind be in you, which was also in Christ Jesus, who being in the form of God, thought it not robbery to be equal with God, but made himself of no reputation, and took upon him the form of a servant, and was made in the likeness of men. And being found in fashion as a man, he humbled himself and became obedient unto death, even the death of the cross. Wherefore, God also has highly exalted him and given him a name which is above every name, that at the name of Jesus every knee should bow, of things in heaven, things in earth, and things under the earth, and every tongue should confess that Jesus Christ is Lord, to the glory of God the Father. I want to add two questions to the ones that I had in the back there, if you want to just write it down. Okay, the first one is, what does humility look like in the way I relate to myself? What does humility look like in the way I relate to myself? In other words, what does it look like to be humble in relating to myself? Okay. Next one. Why is it important to understand myself if I'm going to have blessed relationships with others? The bag that pack that we have to get rid of. Anybody guess what it is? Pride. That's the weight. That's the thing that weighs us down. It's our stinking pride. The reason why many Christians don't want to embrace the provisions of God in Christ is it's death to pride. It's death to self. And we don't like, you know, I struggle with that. I don't, myself doesn't like to die. The thing that's helped is that I've had so many years of where self was alive and where it messed me up that I've realized it's a whole lot better the other way. So I just wanted to pass that nugget of blessing to you all. Let's just pray. Father, we thank you that you're
a good God. Thank you for the freedom that we have in Christ. We don't have to carry that awful weight around that the rest of the world can't get rid of. They can't get rid of their pride. But we get to, and we can through Christ. Lord, I pray that each one would let go. Let go of their pride about their appearance, their self, their family, whatever it is, how good it is or how bad it is, and embrace who you've made them to be. Let go of self and pride and find the glorious blessing of Christ living in me. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.
Thank you for listening. We hope this message has blessed you. If you would like additional messages or a catalog, please visit our website at ccfsermons.org. Call us at 855-55-CHARITY or write to us at Charity Christian Fellowship, 59 South Groffdale Road, Leola, PA, 17540. This ministry is supported by your donations. May Jesus Christ be Lord of all.